The gospel reading comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 25 through 36. Listen to and for the word of God. There will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. We are loved, and we are to love. We are wired this way by God. We're created to worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So longing for love is integrally bound to worship. That's right, we are encountered by the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of life every day, and particularly in our worship. Now, I confess to you that my preferences in worship can get in the way of God. Yes, I have preferences, and I bet you do too. But sometimes they get in the way. That is, I like liturgy and a freer expression, which the two forms of worship we have at Grace express. But I miss the us. Having two different congregational experiences of worship can create two congregations. That is why I like combined worship services, except we always lose attendance on those days. But I'm thinking with our staff and talking with our musicians and wondering if we could have a combined service that alternates the space we use, whether it's in the great room or here. But we kind of combine appropriate hymns and maybe a few choruses and do things a little more creatively. And I'd kind of like to be in one space with all of us at one time. Any amens to that? Okay. All right. That was somewhat. Yeah. But you know what? I'm just going to keep working with us. And just so you know, the interim time will come to an end. So just be patient. Just be patient. But we're excited. I'm excited creating these services with our music staff and see what we can do. See, worship brings us face to face with God, the one who loves us the most and knows us the best. Sandra Maria Van Ospel writes, "One of the greatest challenges of our generation is that people make choices based almost exclusively on preferences. They may not understand that worship and community is more about us than about me. Like many of our faith practices, preaching, scripture study, prayer, and leadership, both biblical principles and cultural preferences are at play. Yet we must view our times that we worship together with high value, a blending of the 9 and 11 practices to bless us all as we move into Grace's new future as a congregation and individual congregants. I long for love, love from God and love from others. I long to love God and others. Well, let me tell you the story of how Brennan Manning met Jesus. You've heard me mention Brennan's name, deceased now at least 6 years, a saint of God, loves God, loves others. So in 1955, 2 years before I was born, I just thought I'd tell you that, Brennan had a dream. He was a sophomore at the University of Missouri. Brennan's major was journalism. The New Yorker magazine was planning to employ him following his graduation. Then came the dream. In the dream, Brennan was driving a Cadillac up a steep hill. At the crest of the hill was a 14-room ranch-style house with a panoramic view of the valley below. He saw his name on the mailbox. Parked in the driveway were a Lincoln and a Porsche. Barbara was inside the house baking bread, and the voices of their four children were in the background. On the wall in the entryway to the house was the Nobel Prize for Literature that he was awarded. Brennan awakened from the dream in a cold sweat, shouting, "Oh God, there's got to be more!" He began a search for God. Well, he broke off his engagement with Barbara. He announced to his family that he was entering the Franciscan Seminary in Loretto, Pennsylvania. Not once in Brennan's life had he ever uttered the name of Jesus. Now, I am grateful for having a relationship with Brennan and one of the most significant mentors in my life. But when he told me this story and I heard him preach this story, it's unbelievable. He never had mentioned the name of Jesus, but he announces to his family that he's going to go to the Franciscan Seminary. Well, the seminary was anything but what he thought. The routine was predictable and the tasks were demeaning, particularly dusting the parlor. One day while dusting, Brennan was staring at an 8-day Swiss clock atop the mantel, covered with a large glass bowl. Father Augustine walked in and asked Brennan what he was doing, to which he replied, "I was wondering how much beer that glass bowl would hold." Brennan knew he had to leave the seminary. Would Barbara take him back? Before he could leave, however, Brennan needed to meet with Father Augustine. Prior to that meeting, Brennan visited the 14 stations of the cross. At the first station, the prayer began with the phrase, "Jesus is condemned to death." At the 12th station, the prayer began with the words, "Jesus died on the cross." He began to pray. After 3 hours in prayer, and very suddenly, Brennan heard Jesus call his name. For the first time in his life, Brennan felt unconditionally loved. From the depths of his being, Brennan realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for him. From the depths of his being, Brennan realized that Jesus Christ had died for him. His mind and heart were being called to a personal engagement with God. Brennan realized that there is only Jesus. He is everything. I love this man. He would take 3-month journeys into a desert and meet with a monastic community and go to a cave and pray. Deep walk with Jesus. A deep walk with Jesus. And as Brennan says, knowing him was the more of what he was seeking following that dream. That all that stuff in his dream did not have meaning the way coming to knowing Jesus did. Well, it's true, there is only Jesus. Jesus is everything. It is in Jesus that our longing for love is met. Jeremiah pronounces a future that will come to pass and is already on its way. This future that will come to pass and is already on its way is packaged in between pronouncements of devastation and restoration set in Jeremiah's time, and emphatic declarations that the Lord will bring about every promise of healing and restoration in an unspecified future. I had the privilege of studying with George Eldon Ladd, probably one of the finest New Testament scholars that the world, and in particular the United States, saw and experienced. And in his aging years at Fuller Seminary, I'll never forget how George Eldon Ladd talked about unrealized eschatology. All right, I picked another big word but said it correctly this week, the first time. Unrealized eschatology. Now, what this means is what Jeremiah and the gospel reading in Luke is talking about. The future that we're invited in by relationship with Jesus Christ is now, but not yet. That was a phrase George Eldon Ladd coined. The future that Jesus promises is now, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's now, but it's not yet. All right, so we light the hope candle. And then George Eldon Ladd would then talk about the significance of hope, that it's not about us trying to figure out the signs of the times that Luke mentions. It's not about us having speculation, but it's about hope, which is the expectation that what God has promised, God will do. Hope is the expectation that what God promises, God will do. All right, you get to practice that with me, just like George Eldon Ladd made us do it. Okay, so just repeat after me. Hope is the expectation that what God promises, God will do. Now, you don't have to repeat me now. Now, but not yet. Do you see that? Now, but not yet. And so many promises have been fulfilled, but every generation can experience some of those promises coming true for them. And the ultimate fulfilling of hope is the healing and reconciliation that comes at the second coming of Christ with the founding of the new heavens and the new earth. It's quite compelling. Fred Craddock, in his commentary on Luke, writes, "The life of disciples, after all is said and done, is not one of speculation or observation, but of behavior and relationships. The future is now, my friends, and we are to look to Jesus as the model for how we are to live. Jesus shows us what is right and just. In Jesus, we will be saved. In Jesus, our longing for love and to love are met." Well, we all yearn to experience the unconditional love of God. And today is the official beginning of the Christmas season in the life of the church. It's called Advent. Advent is a time of hope, which points people to the new beginning made possible for life in Jesus Christ. Advent serves as a dual reminder of the original expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the nativity of Jesus, as well as the second coming of Christ. Advent ties the coming of the Christmas child to the climax of redemptive history with the second coming of this Christmas child. Oh, for such a love as this does the human spirit yearn. Advent brings people together. Well, from the depths of his being, Brennan Manning realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for him. His mind and heart were being called to a personal engagement with God. And Brennan realized that there's only Jesus. He is everything. And I hope each one of us, I hope you, are wrestling with that reality even now. As followers of Jesus, we are sustained by God's love in Christ. We can bank our hope on the Christmas child because Jesus makes good on all his promises. Like Brennan Manning, Jesus is calling you by name. You are deeply loved by God. May your love for God increase. May your love for each other and others overflow. Amen.